Welcome to the second Red Robin pre-season mini pod powered by 360 Chartered Accountants and Budget Tyres Auto Centre. This week, I'm delighted to be joined by fans panel regular James Pearlin as we take a look back at what's been happening in the world of Hull Kingston Rovers. James, it's Rugby League World Cup, obviously. That's getting all the headlines at the moment, but there's still plenty of stuff going on at the Robins at the moment, isn't there?
There is, yeah. I've sort of just went through the website last night just to try and sort of look at what had gone on since the we won at the KCOM in early September. And it's thinking, God, there is actually a load of stuff going on, you know. Just, and it's all great positive news as well, not just obviously on the, with the playing team and the squad, etc., but obviously off the field with the retail, but also a load of stuff with the community as well. So, you know, it's really been, so far, a really positive close season.
Yeah, definitely. Good thing about close season, everyone's a grand finalist, aren't we? You know.
Oh yeah.
On paper, we've got the best squad. We've got the best coach. We've got the best kits.
Yeah.
Interestingly, while we'll talk about kits, last night Lee Leopards announced the new name, new branding, formerly the Lee Centurions. Derek Beaumont, the owner of the Lee Centurions, his favorite animal is a leopard. He owns a safari lodge, and he decided that would be the right animal to represent Lee, and he's gone with it big style, hasn't he?
Oh God, it was. I saw it. I didn't know whether it was a Mickey take or anything like that, or just whether it was just like a, I had to check my calendar to make sure it wasn't April 1st. But wow, I don't know. I don't know what is Derek's on, but I want some of it.
Yeah. I mean, if you get a chance to see the badge and the, to be fair, the shirt doesn't look too bad, but the badge looks very, I don't know, look like they've done it on Microsoft Paint, really.
Yeah.
It's not looking the best, but I suppose first season in Super League, they've announced some big signings, Zach Iadake being one of them. The wanting to make a name for himself, maybe whether this is the right way to do it or not, because if you look at the reaction on social media, there ain't much positivity out there for it. But it's interesting, James, isn't it? Because obviously, although the Robins, we've not changed our name, we have gone through a rebranding process. Yeah. And I thought what was key to it is, although, you know, some supporters still are, you know, swayed by the new badge and the more use of Hull KR more than Hull Kingston Rovers, etc. They did consult with fans, and they did. I know it was behind the scenes and it wasn't in public, but there was the opportunity for supporters to put their views across. Whereas Lee, it's the owner who's put this across, and fan engagement is so important.
Yeah, it is, and I think, you know, one of the key things from, well, any club, really. I know sort of Derek's probably got quite deep pockets, but you still need that strength on the retail side, and it will be interesting to sort of see what sort of uptake the Lee fans giving with the merchandise with it. I mean, yeah, you've got to give him credit. Everybody's been talking about it yesterday. Obviously, there was a few other things happening in the world, but everybody was talking about it, and the way I think other clubs were sort of engaging with it as well, you know, sort of, you know, Featherstone Flamingos and Barrow Budgies and Huddersfield Hedgehogs. It was actually quite entertaining, really. And, you know, fair due to Derek, he's sort of got people talking about rugby league when there wasn't actually a World Cup game going on. So it will be interesting what goes on with them. And I think, you know, on a serious note, I think they seem to have recruited fairly well. You know, I think Littell is going to be a good signing for them. Hardacre is an interesting one, given he didn't want to travel from Yorkshire to Wigan. I hope he realises that Lee's actually in Wigan Borough, so it might come in a bit of a shock for him.
Yeah, and I've just seen as well, Gareth O'Brien.
Signings, yeah.
Yeah, Gareth O'Brien. He's just been announced as well.
Yeah, and Tom Briscoe as well, apparently.
Tom Briscoe, yeah. So, yeah, and, you know, he has got deep pockets, and he's definitely backing the club and backing his idea by spending the money. So it's going to be interesting to see how well they perform next season. If we come back to the Robins, since our last mini pod, the club have announced that we'll be taking on Featherstone and Leeds Rhinos in two pre-season friendlies. It looks like they will be our only two friendlies of the pre-season. Of course, the boys are travelling out to Tenerife for 10 days in December. And then they'll be coming back, obviously, Christmas period. And then first game is Featherstone, which is going to double up as Craig Hall's testimonial. That will be taking place on Friday, the 20th of January. It's a 7:45 p.m. kickoff. And then we face Leeds Rhinos on Sunday, the 5th of February, at 3 p.m. kickoff. It's hard to read so much into friendlies, isn't it, James? Because, you know, yeah, the players are undercooked and all you hope is that you don't suffer any major injuries. But, you know, I think these friendlies are starting to get a bit more prominence because there's a lot of talk going on from Willie Peters. There's a lot of talk from the boys. People are excited because of the Rugby League World Cup and there'll be Rovers supporters will be itching to see these lads out on the pitch.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think you're right. I think you can't read anything too much into the into friendlies, as you say. I think, you know, the main thing is you don't get any injuries. I think, was it a few years ago, we lost Kevin Leroy for quite a while when he got an injury at Warrington in a friendly. But no, I think the playing Featherstone, you know, for Craig Cole's testimonial, you know, I hope there's a lot of Rovers fans go over to Post Office Road to support him, because, you know, given the service that Craig's given to Rovers over the time, and I think, you know, from what he was saying in the press, you know, he really just didn't want to leave Rovers. He just loved it at the club, and I think a lot of Rovers fans are saying the same. Would say the same, that, you know, he would have been a valuable squad member, but unfortunately, was it Tony Smith, I think, who let him go? So yeah, it's a big shame. But so I think a lot of Rovers fans will go over there. And I think, you know, given the quality of Featherstone, they'll be out to probably make a point for Sean Long in his first game, just as, you know, Rovers players will be for Willie Peters in his first game. I think they'll be good, two good games. You know, I think you want a bit of intensity, I think, in friendlies, obviously, but not too much. But just to sort of help blow the cobwebs away. And I think, you know, the teams are playing, it'll give us that sort of intensity and push.
Yeah, and Craig Hall, of course, like you mentioned, departing the club sort of in a bit of an underhand way. Of course, he wanted to stay. But I mean, he's forged a fantastic career for himself. 335 career appearances, 2,000 points. I think he was the championship top point scorer last season. Whilst at the Rovers, he made 118 appearances in two spells, 2011 to 2014 and then 2018 to the end of 2019, scoring 400 points. You know, the way he did depart the club left a bit of taste. I know in Craig's mouth, he featured on our podcast when we very first started. So I'm pleased that the club have backed this, backed his testimonial game. It's going to be a great test. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Rovers fans travelling over to the Millennium Stadium to watch this. And, you know, Featherstone will have a point to prove. They very much hope to be promoted. Last season, Brian McDermott obviously fell on his sword. Amazingly, he seems to have come out better from it. He's coaching the Fijians. He's going to take Willie Peters' old job at Newcastle Knights. He's going to be the assistant coach there. So he doesn't seem to have done too bad out of this one.
No, I don't
and obviously Sean Long, you know, it's his first head coach role, I think. So he's going to have plenty to prove there. So, yeah, interesting friendly in the Leeds game. You know, it's one of them, isn't it? Shrug of the shoulders, no injuries, you know, up to bring intensity. And I suppose, James, that's one of the things that Willie Peters has said, hasn't he, about effort. He wants world-class effort from the boys. And really, you'd expect these friendlies, you know, there'll be no half measures here. It will be a sort of blood and thunder games because he wants to approach every game with the intensity that he demands and expects from the boys.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at the way, you know, the squad we now have and the quite, you know, in depth we have in a number of positions, it's obviously in the players' interest to sort of go out and demonstrate to Willie Peters what they can do and what they're capable of and push for that spot. You know, I think we've got probably about 8 props now. We can only play, you know, probably play 4, you know, put 4 of them in the 17-man squad on game day. So I think all those will be itching to prove a point. So no, I think it will be an interesting couple of games. So I'm looking forward to them. You know, we haven't seen any Rovers live since February, since September. And we've obviously got the new players coming in, the Willie Peters effect, etc. So now I'd be really looking forward to it already.
Yeah, one thing that I'm looking forward to seeing is how he uses, obviously, the players who are featuring the World Cup, and then obviously Jesse Sue, Kennedy, Opacic, because they're coming over at the end of November once they've sorted out the visas. So they've missed a month of pre-season. How they feature in these pre-season friendlies, because especially for the World Cup boys, are they going to get a prolonged rest? Is he going to start to maybe not use them at the start of the season, because it's going to they've already had a long old season, you know, especially someone like Kane Lynette, who's suffered from injuries. He's coming to the back end of his career in terms of his age. You know, these players are going to need to be rested up. Of course, you've got Sam Luckley, who's coming in, although he only played, I think, 16 games for Salford last season. He's in the World Cup. You've got Senior. He's played, I think, 10 or 12 games for Huddersfield. So whether they're featuring these friendlies or whether Willie Peters decides, you know, this first, you know, even first third of the season, what to dip them out, or whether he goes, you know, bang from the start and starts playing them, it's going to be really interesting to see.
It is, and I think, you know, a lot of it's probably going to come down to the players. I mean, actually, you know, like I said, you know, we've had got quite a few in the World Cup, so you think, yeah, they're probably having a bit of a rest. I was wondering when when Opacek, Sue and Kennedy would be coming over, because, you know, we obviously in the past we've seemed to have had lots of problems with visas, don't we, and sort of getting those over in time. So if they're coming over end of November, I mean, obviously that'll have been in the club's thinking as well, and in the planning that they're doing for pre-season training. So, you know, I'm sure Willie Peters is sort of fairly relaxed about it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he does sort of play them within the friendlies. I would have thought from their perspective, and you know, his perspective as well, he'd want them to play at least some part in at least one of them. You know, whether it's maybe not the Featherstone game, but maybe more the Leeds game, to give them probably more of an indication of what they can expect from you know, coming up against a Super League team.
Yeah, and obviously,
that's not to disrespect Featherstone, because I think, you know, they've got the potential to be a decent Super League team, but you know, you've actually got, you know, you're up against a team who basically were grand finalists. You know, so they're going to give us quite a stern test, and I think it will be, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they did going against us, so that sort of game.
And I'm looking forward to getting an update on Lachlan Coote over in Australia at the moment. Of course, he couldn't feature in the World Cup and he couldn't feature in the last games of the season for the Robins because of concussion. He suffered three concussions last season. Just to get an update on where he is, really, because is he going to come back, start training with the boys in pre-season from the very start, or is he going to have a phased return? So I look forward to getting an update on that, because, you know, he's got, when you look at our spine and when it's fully fit, with Lachlan Coote in it, it's really exciting. So I'm really looking forward to seeing there. So hopefully we'll get an update very soon. Some more news. We mentioned Sam Luckley. It was announced that we're going to face his former club, Salford, at Magic Weekend in Newcastle. The dates for that are Saturday the 3rd of June. Unusually for the Robins, we're opening up the weekend, 1:30 p.m. kickoff. It's a repeat of the 2019 Magic Weekend at Anfield, where Rovers pipped Salford by 2 points. And we've just mentioned Craig Hall and his testimonial. So here's a little flashback for you. The lineup for that day when we faced Salford at Anfield, James, was Craig Hall at fullback, Ben Crooks on the wing, Jimmy Kynos his centre, Kane Lynette at centre, Ryan Shaw on the wing, Maguire and Drinkwater were the halfbacks, Mossy Massoy, Danny Addy, Robbie Mulhern, Wella Haraki, Joel Tompkins, George Lawler. And then on the bench, we started with Chris Atkins, Sean Lunt, Mitch Garbutt and Antonio Maria.
Wow,
bit of a change.
Bit of a change.
Bit of a shake-up. But Salford, I mean, for me, I think the Magic Weekend concept is probably starting to come to the end of its shelf life now. For me, I don't think there's much engagement from the local population. So in effect, you've got 30, 40, 50,000 people travelling from their cities to go watch a game in rugby league somewhere else. And don't get me wrong, I have a fantastic time when I go. It's an absolutely brilliant occasion. But in terms of concept, I think it's just a little bit tired now.
No, I'd agree with you there on. I think probably because over the years, they've probably overdone things like the derby. And sort of, you know, although we all love a derby, especially when we win, you can get too much of a good thing, really, sometimes. And in a way, although Salford might not be the most, you know, thinking or the most exciting opposition for next year and to sort of get your people up there. I think it should have to be quite a decent game. If Salford are performing next season as they did towards the back end of this season, and Rovers are sort of like looking good, it should actually be quite a good game. And you should be, you know, we've got, you know, two teams who, you know, can play some really good football. And, you know, from, I think from the, you know, the game's point of view, if it's good opening to the Magic weekend, you know, it's going to be, set the scene for it. But as you say, it's great that we're not the last on. So I think, you know, we're going to go up on, I think, the Friday night, stay over and then sort of travel up and watch all the days. But I agree with you in terms of it's done its day. But it's actually how you replace it or whether you do replace it. I think, obviously, yeah. IMG's view is that it's going. I think the problem as well is it just gives an unbalanced look to the season. You know, the fixtures are based on how you performed in the previous season. And sometimes you get somebody who's had a bit of a dog last season, then suddenly starts to come good, and you suddenly end up playing a decent team. You know, it can sort of knock your season out of kilter.
Yeah, and it's a lug fixture, isn't it? So you can do without it in the fixture list.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about player welfare and sort of having played too many games. And it is, for me, it has always been an unnecessary game, really, altogether. That just does upset the balance of your season.
Yeah,
potentially.
The other fixtures on the Saturday are Wigan versus Catalan. Saturday finishes with Leeds taking on Castleford. On the Sunday, Leeds take on Wakefield, which will be an interesting game. You know, you probably expect them to be near the bottom.
Yeah.
At that point of the season, so that will be an interesting shootout. St Helens take on Huddersfield, and then the Black and Whites take on Warrington in the last game. I suppose the beauty of this fixture, afternoon kickoff in Newcastle. I mean, Sunday tea time kickoffs are a ball ache in Newcastle.
Yeah.
Especially if it's not a bank holiday weekend, you know, people like to make a weekend of it. But Saturday, 1:30 p.m. kickoff, you've got the option of going up on the train, getting there in good time and coming back at a reasonable time if you go up on the coach. And like you said, James, if you go for the weekend, Newcastle Thunder, they play their game on a Friday night, don't they?
Yeah.
Curtain raiser almost to the Magic weekend, and they always get a good crowd. So, yeah, I'm happy that it's been staged when it is. The opposition, you know, you can almost... I'm to be fair, I am glad it's not a derby. I think, that, again, that's become a bit tired, the amount of times we play each other. I like the old, you know, home and away fixture. I'd love to play them in the cup. I'd love a cup fixture.
Yeah.
But I'm glad, because you saw it. It'd be nice just to go to Magic Weekend and actually play a game without too much riding on it in terms of it being a derby.
Mm. No, I agree. I think... Yeah, people do. You do get fed up of it. I think then you sort of see that in the attendances for the rest of the games. You know, rest of the other derbies in the rest of the season. Yeah, people just do get fed up with them. You know, and it'd be nice to play somebody different.
Yeah, definitely. Some more news out of the club is the launch of the new Queensland Fed alternate shirt, and it's a bit of a beauty. I know. Some people want in favour of the new home shirt. I know a hell of a lot of people were in favour of it, that much so that someone decided to go and nick a load from a lorry. That's how much they loved it. I've still not seen any of them shirts for sale at Walton Street Market yet, so they can't have got to Hull just yet, but I imagine if you start seeing popping up on eBay and things like that, you know where they've come from. The alternate shirt is of course a tribute to the 1983 victory over the Queensland Maroons, a famous victory for the Robins. Queensland, probably one of the best sides in the world at the time, coached by Artie Beetson, captained by the great Wally Lewis, of course. Beetson was the coach of the Australian national side at the time. The game made famous by that Mark Broadhurst punch, but I think the result is, you know, I know on social media, James, it's the Broadhurst punch what gets all the attention, but that result... To beat Queensland was a staggering result at the time, wasn't it? And it was a game with plenty of adversity in it.
Oh, it was, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm old enough to actually been there, and it was just a phenomenal result. You look at the quick, you know, I say we didn't really you got to put into context that the previous year, you know, the Kangaroos had come over in '82 and just basically ripped the whole British game up and thrown it in the air and said, this is how we play the game. Then Queensland came over and we're expecting the same sort of thing. And, you know, they just basically, Queensland basically just came to spoil. They thought they could, you know, knock Rovers out of their stride. Obviously, you know, Broadhurst put them in the place. But by, I think by half time, we'd lost about four players injured who just couldn't come back just because of the tactics that Queensland were playing. But then when Mike Smith scored, it was just unbelievable. And the defensive effort that night, that day, was just phenomenal. And I think it just really, I think it was really showed what quality team Rovers were at the time. You know, we had, you know, we had people like, you know, Broadhurst and Smith and Prom and Hartley and Fairbairn, and, you know, Zoukema was in there. You know, it's, you know, it's just sort of a quality team all from, you know, one to 16 or 17 or whatever they had at the time. And it was a real fillip for the British game as well, because it showed actually British teams could actually then stand up to the Australians. Queensland then went on to obviously beat Wigan the week after, and then they beat Leeds, I think, put 57 points on Leeds, wanted to have a rematch against Rovers. And Colin Hunt said, no, we haven't got the space. So, yeah, no, really historic moment for the club.
And, yeah, you know, and like you said, if you put it into context, like you said, the Queensland, after playing Rovers, went and played Wigan. They beat them 40 points to 2. The following game, they went and played Leeds and beat them 58 points to 2. Mm-hmm. You know, and like you said, Rovers actually suffered 3 injuries in the first 30 minutes. Roy Holdstock, Dave Watkinson, Steve Hartley, you know, big players for the side, all going off injured. So when we talk about adversity and backs against the wall, I think also, you know, many people expected Queensland to come over and start playing some champagne rugby. And it was the fuggery of the Queensland side that really caught people by surprise. Mm-hmm. Which is ultimately what led to Mark Broadhurst taking the matters into his own hands and laying a number on the Queensland player. And after that, Queensland sort of melted away and wasn't the same.
No, they weren't. And it was, I think that just really shocked Queensland to think that, you know, actually here's a British team who were prepared to stand up to our intimidating tactics and not going to take a backward step. And it was really noticeable after that they just wilted Queensland, really, and just couldn't go through that Rovers defence. It was just iron fisted, that Rovers defence that day. And
yeah. Well, Mark Broadhurst was definitely iron fisted.
Oh, it was, yeah. But I mean, if you've seen the try, you know, that Mike Smith scored it. It was actually watched a clip of it the other day on Twitter, I think, and it was actually kicked through by Dave Hall, who was playing loose forward. And I think Dave Hall was actually, you know, obviously people know him more as a fullback, but he actually later in his career went to loose forward, and he actually came a pretty good loose forward. I think he actually got picked for Great Britain as loose forward, and he was, you know, very very skillful in that position. And that kick for Mike Smith was just, you know, was just perfect.
Yeah, and I've been fortunate enough to speak to Gary Clark, John Doherty, David Hall on the Red Robin Heritage podcast. They speak very fondly of this game. Fantastic memories. So please go give them a listen. Obviously, a fantastic occasion for them, and great to hear the stories of when they beat Queensland. And I think it was Dave Hall who said it was actually, he thinks, maybe Rovers' best ever result. So never mind the 1980 Challenge Cup. Not in terms of the importance, but in terms of actually who the opposition was, the quality of the opposition, and the way that they managed to get a victory despite the adversity. He thinks it was probably Rovers' best ever result.
I agree with that.
Are you a fan of the shirt, James?
I think it's a thing of beauty, Chris.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I've got one ordered. I've got one ordered. Yeah, I think it's. I think it's great. You know.
Yeah.
I think full marks to the Rovers retail team and, you know, Craig Franklin and his team for obviously I think they set the bar up very high last year with the Boilermakers shirt, and I think they've actually surpassed it with the Queensland shirt.
Yeah, head over to Hull KR Shirts with Mike Carter. He does a great preview analysis of the shirts. So really interesting. And I have it on very, very good authority. October the 16th, 1983. Obviously, 2023 will be the 40th anniversary. I have it on very good authority that there's going to be a reunion between the side, and a number of players will be flying over from Australia and New Zealand, and there'll be an opportunity for supports to meet the squad at a dinner. So I expect that to be very popular. So that's at the back end of next year, so a bit of an exclusive there.
Super League trophy on display as well, Chris.
Right, well, you know, we might as well add them to the open top bus tour as well. Yeah, maybe need two open top buses for everyone. But yeah, it's going to be really good. And I think the shirt is a beauty. I think it is a really nice shirt. Mm. Yeah, so very quickly, James, before we wrap up, of course, the Rugby League World Cup is going on at the moment. Ryan Hall is named in the squad for France on Saturday, or tomorrow even. Four players who featured previously for Ireland, Frankie Holton, Louis Senior, and George King. Sorry, five players. And then Sam Luckley and Kane Lynette for Scotland. Ireland trouncing Jamaica, really. Italy trouncing Scotland, so Kane Lynette and Sam Luckley not having the best of days there. They're, of course, in action tonight against Australia, so formidable opposition there. Mm. But great to see the Ireland boys at Rovers doing very well. And Frankie Holton definitely didn't look out of place on the big stage.
It didn't, and I think I was quite impressed with Ireland. You know, I think playing Jamaica, I was quite impressed with the whole game in its entirety. I thought Jamaica had a really good go, but now I was really impressed with Ireland in their entirety. And I thought George King was excellent, you know, getting a try, and you know, Frankie was being Frankie, and you know, I think got really excited about seeing what Louis Senior could do as well. I think, you know, we've always seen what he'd been able to do at Huddersfield from his, you know, his try ratio to appearances, and he just seemed to be able to sort of, you know, pluck them out of the air literally. And get them. So I think he's going to be a great addition to the squad and give us a lot more options and cover.
Yeah, and like we said, you know, England beats Ryan Hall featuring for England against France tomorrow. England coming up with a very good result against Samoa. You'd imagine the hard work was done against Samoa, and it should be routine victories against France and Greece, although Sean Wayne has decided to roll the dice a little bit, hasn't he, and rest a few players for that France game. But it's going to be great to see a Hulkingston Rovers player in an England shirt featuring at the World Cup.
Yeah, it's going to be great. You know, I think, you know, Ryan, you know, people, I think there's obviously a lot of comments when he was picked in the squad, given his age. But at the end of the day, I think we've seen over the last two seasons, he's certainly still got it. You know, as you were saying beforehand, he might not necessarily have the pace, but he's got that power. And if he gets, you know, close to the line, you know, he's going to be difficult to stop for the French team.
Yeah, and like we said, Australia, Scotland tonight. It's going to be pretty much a walkover, isn't it? Although, you know, Kane Lynette getting to play against Australia, you know, for him, you know, a proud Australian representing Scotland through his heritage, it'll be a proud night for him.
Yeah, it will. And I think, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing that again. I thought Sam Luckley was very good for Scotland against Italy, putting some good hits in. I think, you know, Kane was, you know, probably, I think he was probably had a bit of a quiet game, I thought. So I think he'd be looking forward to sort of probably making more of an impact against Australia. But I think, you know, listening to a lot of the Scottish players and the interviews before the game, I think, you know, they really appreciate that having somebody of Kane's experience within the squad to sort of, you know, give them some direction and some, you know, some real solidity. So yeah. I think he's played a strong part in that overall squad dynamics.
And two former Robins who also featured in the World Cup. Brad Takarangi making his return, interestingly, for them. And then Corbin Sims named in the Fiji side. He served his three-game suspension. One was against Hull in the derby. The other one was in a Fiji warm-up game that he wasn't named in the squad for at all. And the other one was the World Cup game, which he wasn't named in the squads for. So the disciplinary process. yeah, but obviously he's announced his retirement. Brad Takarangi is playing for a contract somewhere else. So they're interesting to see them. But James, it's been absolutely fantastic to have you on the podcast. Thank you very much.
That brings us
to the end of another Red Robin mini pod powered by 360 Accountants and Budget Tyres Auto Centre. As well as this, you can also listen to the Red Robin Rugby League World Cup podcast with Jason Costigan, who is the nephew of former Robin Neville Costigan. Listen in as we take a look back at the first round of fixtures. Check us out in all the usual places. And remember, live, love, laugh and be happy.